Amen. Amen. Good afternoon, New Joy Fellowship. It's a joy to be with you guys on the line this afternoon and be able to bring you guys a message and the word. I just want to say a prayer before we dive into it. I just want to say, Father God, thank you so much again for us to be able to have this avenue to be able to share with one another, to fellowship through this technology. Praying, Father God, that you would help us just to be with you today and just to be in your word, Father, as the word would come from my mouth. I pray to come straight from your heart, Father God, and that you would just give us the message you want to communicate to us today, Father. Praying for open hearts and ears, and Father God, that you would just let yourself be exalted today. In your name I pray. Amen. I pray that you guys are safe and warm in your homes, as Pastor Pointy said, or where you are dwelling. I pray that you guys stay safe. If you have to get out, if you don't have to get out, stay home and be with loved ones, especially on a day like today, where we get to express our love a little more extra than different and than other days. No more, no less. It's a little more of an expression as far as the love goes. But I do want to talk to you about that today. I want to talk to you this afternoon about love and what love is and what love is not. You know, so many times that word love gets overused in our vocabulary, especially nowadays. You can love your wife, but you can also love chicken wings. I love my wife, Tori, dearly. I really do like chicken wings, but I cannot say that I love chicken wings because love is a different kind of level of adoration. You know, if you think about love, I've asked people before, and I've gotten two really good definitions for love. I thought one was very, very profound. Love is the deep adoration or affection for someone or something. That was very profound and very dignified and a very good definition of the word love. And then I heard love also defined by a child at the age of 5 that said that love is that feeling you get in your stomach when you're by somebody that makes you nervous, like you have to go to the bathroom, but you don't have to go to the bathroom. Both these things can be defined as love, and though these are acceptable definitions by our standards today, love is very differently defined in the Bible, in the Word of God, and that's the love that we're going to talk about today. That word love, agape love that we're talking about, is the word that we're going to define today by what God says in the Bible. And so we think about that word love from now on. You know, Pastor Carol was singing a song that said, "I love you, Lord." And my prayer is at the end of this sermon, at the end of the day, as we define love, you can still say, "I love you, Lord," or maybe say it a little differently, or maybe it means a little bit more to you after you would read and discuss and learn from the Word of God today. So I want to start with 1 Corinthians 13. You open your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's talk about what love is and what love is not, by the writings of Paul, 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 4. It says this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, they will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the weight of a childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see the face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So we read in Corinthians, and we hear from the writings that we know that what love is and what love isn't. Love is kind. Love is patient, but it does not envy, it does not boast. And so we think about love, that word, that four-letter word that we use so often. Like I said, we use it so often, and what love is and what love isn't. Here's some extra things I want to talk about what love is. Love is unconditional. You know, you hear people use the terms love and unconditional love. I don't separate the two. There's no such thing as love and unconditional love. It's just love. Because the problem is when love becomes conditional, it stops being love. Because there's no prerequisites or qualifications for love. Now, almost a year ago now, I stood in front of God and many witnesses, and I declared my love for my wife, Tori. And We had a ceremony in which we exchanged vows, and there was no prerequisite for my love for Tori. There was nothing she had to do to qualify for my love. It was just I loved her because of who she was, nothing more, nothing less. There wasn't anything she filled out. There was no test that she passed. There was nothing, no skill that she possessed that made me love her. It was just who she was. What we have to understand is when God says he loves us, and what love is he loves us because he does. There's no prerequisite and there's no qualification for God's love. We can't do anything to make him love us anymore, and we can't do anything to make him love us any less. Because the fact of the matter is, we tried that almost, if you will, because in Romans 3:23 it says, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Even our sin, God still loved us. There's no prerequisite. There's no pre-qualifications for God's love. He just loves us, and that's a fantastic thing and truth that we can have in our Christianity, in our Christian walk. Yes, there are things that we do that he disapproves of. There are things that we do that disappoint him and even anger him. But in all that, through all the anger, disappointment, disapproval, he still loves us. There's no prerequisites and there's no condition to his love. There's no qualification to the love of God. God's love is sacrificial. And love itself has to be sacrificial. We give out without warrant or merit because of love. We serve out of love with no reciprocation. Forsaking all else, we love and we make it known our love to people, whatever it takes to get the job done. This love that I'm talking about, this is the agape love. Love is an action, a verb. The love that we're talking about is the love that Christ says he has for us. And so as we continue to talk about that word of love, I want to talk about three ways that God loved us, three ways that God showed in the Bible, three ways that God showed his mighty love for us and the ways that he wants us to love others. And it's this. Number one, Jesus loves us wholly. I mean holy, I mean W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy. Jesus Christ, God, loved our whole selves. You know, when Christ came and he came to die for us, he came for the whole of us. He didn't come to die for just when we were good. He didn't come to die for when we were doing the right things. He didn't even come to die because we could do anything for him. It was all because of, it was just to come to die for the whole of us. You see, because in Romans 5:8 it says, while we're still sinning, Christ died for us. So not just when we're doing good that he loves us. Christ still loves us in our bad because he loves us wholly and with all of himself. He loves all of ourselves. You know, so many times it's easy. I know I work for John 3:16, and we talk about, you know, always showing love to the kids and make sure they know the love of Christ and how easy it is to love the lovable. It's real easy to love a kid who's doing right, who's always paying attention, always listening, always participating, and always, you know, going the extra mile to be better. It's so much harder to love the kids who don't listen, who don't participate, who are always talking back, who always are causing trouble or mischief or drama. It's harder to love those kids. But the fact of the matter is we're supposed to love each one of them wholly, the good with the bad, bad with the good. We have to love each other, each one of these kids wholly, because Jesus Christ loved us wholly. He didn't come just to die for those who were saints. He also died for the sinners, because we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. Now you might be saying, well, I mean, I love so-and-so, but the moment we say but, that love goes out the window. There's no but to the love. Either you love them or you don't. There's no in-between. You know, we're called to love wholly and with all of ourselves. And just like Jesus Christ loved us wholly with all himself, because he didn't give us part of himself. He gave us all of himself when he died on the cross. So our love got to be whole like that, whole of every single person that we come in contact with. When I went to go to the altar and declare my love for Tori, and I said, I love you wholly, I took the good with the bad. I took her compassion, her love for people, her serving heart, her love for Jesus, her love. I took all that along with the bad. Now, I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm not going to talk about the bad, but I took all that along with the bad. And no, there's not that many bad. But listen, I took her wholly, just like she took me wholly. The few good that I have and all of my bad, annoying traits, she took wholly. We both said, I do, at the altar. And so that says we're supposed to love each other wholly. somebody may get on your nerves. They may push your button. They may take you, for lack of a better term, take you there to that point. But you're still supposed to love them wholly. No matter how hard it is, we have to love them wholly. And when we love them wholly, it's our love for them. It's amazing how things can turn around. I had a young man that started, when I started working at John 3, started the summer program last year. He and I had some misunderstandings, if you will, about what he was supposed to be doing, what he was not supposed to be doing at John 3:16, to the point where I had to kick him out. I had to kick him out of John 3:16 because he was causing so much mischief and trouble. That whole time, though, I never stopped loving him. I always stayed in contact with him, with his mother, with his grandfather, and we continued just to pour into this young man to where he was able to come back in the summer, come to summer camp with us. He got saved, and now he's one of the leaders in the youth group at John 3:16. I sent his mom a text message the other day saying how much I was proud of, how much he's improved, and how much he has come a long way since I met him. And she was saying, thank you for that, thank you for that. And then the young man said, it's because of the love that he's seen from myself, his mother, his grandmother, grandfather, and people pouring into his pastor, his church, that he was able to turn his life around. And so all I can say is, like a better term, and I didn't say it back in the day, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Take the good with the bad. As hard as it is sometimes, and as hard as it is to love people, we have to love them holy, all of them, all the time, because God called us to love holy, because he loved us holy in the first place. Second way God loves us is he loves us he loves us recklessly. You've heard the story of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep. If you haven't, it's in Luke 15, I want you to look it up later on. But the story goes like this. There was a shepherd, and he was tending a flock of 100 sheep. He tended these sheep. He walked them, of course, along the land, and they graze, and he tends the flock and protects them and guides them and shows them the way to go to keep away from danger. Well, the fact of the matter is, one day, one of the sheep wanders off. So he has 99 sheep. 99 sheep still, minus one. So he's had 100 he's supposed to be taken care of, so he's minus one. And he does something that's so absurd to us, and so crazy to us, and our fleshy line, he leaves 99 on the countryside and goes to find the one. He leaves 99 to go find the one. And after he finds the one, he puts the one on his shoulders and he carries the one back to the rejoicing, saying, "Look, I found my lost sheep." To us, that's absurd. That's crazy. That's reckless. That's dangerous. The fact of the matter is that never crossed the mind of the shepherd. In his mind, the only thing that crossed his mind was that there's a sheep out there that's lost. I have to go find it. I have to go find a sheep. And he found a sheep. He was so happy. He rejoiced, putting it on his shoulders and carrying it all the way back to the other 99. Now, our love has got to be like that. I'm not saying that we have to be crazy and reckless with what we do, but the way we love has got to be crazy and reckless. The way we love has got to be so absurd to other people that they have to ask the question, why do you love like that? Why do you act like that? Why do you perform? Why do you treat people that way? That doesn't make any sense to us. To give you another story, another example, the prodigal son. If you know the story of the prodigal son, there's two sons and a king. And one son wants to get his inheritance early. They ask the king for his inheritance. And he takes the inheritance, he goes and squanders it away. A famine hits the country, and he becomes homeless. He becomes without food. He gets sold into slavery. All these things happen to this young man who is taking his inheritance and squandered away. He spent it on prostitutes and doing evil things. And it gets to the point where he's homeless, without food. He says even that his father's servants have not been able to eat. So he runs back home, basically. He goes back home to go beg his father to take him back, to at least let him be among the servants, if nothing else, just to be able to eat and to be able to have a shelter. The father sees him from long off, and he runs to the son, sweeps him up in his arms. He clothes him in a robe, and he kills a fattened calf, and they celebrate his son coming back. They celebrate, he rejoices his son coming back. Not to us, that's absurd. Because in our mind, we think when somebody does us wrong, they need to get wrong done back to them. When somebody mistreats us, they need to be mistreated, because that's what's quote-unquote right in our mind. But the fact of the matter is when you love recklessly and you love without abandon and forsaking everything else, even yourself, to go love somebody else, you say that, you know what, I know that person did me wrong, but I still love them. I still want them to know the love of Jesus Christ through me. I know that person did me wrong, that person's doing wrong, and I know sometimes you have to be punished for wrongdoing, and if that's the case, that's the case. But if not, also, I'm okay with that because I want them to know the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. And that's hard. That's hard, especially when you've been done wrong, so wrong, when you have the right or the ability to be upset, and I should be upset, and I should be able to get upset, and you're right. In the flesh of mind, yes, you have every single right to be upset and to that person to, quote unquote, get what's coming to them. But the fact of the matter is when we're in our spiritual mind and in our spiritual walk and in our Jesus-type heart, we say, you know what, that person did me wrong, so I'm going to forget that and erase all of that, forsake all of that, because I want them to know the love of Jesus Christ. And I want them to know the love of Jesus Christ, so I show them the love of Jesus Christ. Because the fact of the matter is, that same exact thing, if you have that mindset, you have that same exact mindset of Jesus Christ. Because what he said when he came to earth, he said, forsaking everything else. So if they disobeyed me, they misbehaved, and they're still doing the evil things, even while I'm here teaching them and guiding them, even while I'm here getting beaten, mocked, and scorned for them, even while I'm here hanging up on the cross, crying out to God to forgive them because they don't know what to do, even while I'm doing all this, I'm saying I love them. I'm saying I'm going to die for them. That's reckless. Please forsake everything else. Forsaking himself, his well-being, his health. He's forsaken everything else to die on the cross for us. He didn't care about anything else but coming and dying and raising again so we have an avenue to Jesus Christ in heaven. That's what we have to do. That's the kind of love that we have, a reckless love. Forget everything else. I don't care about my comfort. I don't care about me and my what I want and my desires. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is the love of Jesus Christ, and you know the love of Jesus Christ by me showing you the love of Jesus Christ. And the only way I can do that is to forsake myself and everything else, and above all else, you would know there's a Savior out there who loves you, who came here, who died for you. He died for me. I've accepted that death and resurrection. I have an avenue to Jesus Christ, and I want you to have that same avenue. And the only way to have that avenue is to accept that love and that death and that burial and that resurrection. And I'm doing this because I want you to know that. Yeah, you did me wrong. Forget that. Yeah, you may have called me a name. You know what? You may have even brought some harm to me. And though that happened, forget all of that. All I want you to know is that Jesus Christ loves you. And like I said, to the normal man, to the fleshly human being, that sounds reckless. Because in our society, we're about justice. Somebody kills, they should go to jail. If somebody steals, they should be punished. And while that's the truth, but when the consequences come from doing evil things, Jesus Christ said that though you guys have done evil things, I have given a forgiveness and an avenue to Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that people who commit crimes shouldn't go to jail. What I am saying is that if somebody does something wrong against me, I can forgive that, and I can rise above that because of the love of Jesus Christ. I'm not judge, jury, and executioner. Praise God, that's not my job. My job is to love people. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, is going to be the judge and the ultimate jury and all that good stuff. But my job, our job, is not to tell people and condemn people. Our job is to tell people about Jesus Christ and to show them a better way. Offer up that salvation, offer up that better life of Jesus Christ. And the only way we're going to do that is if we're reckless in our love and we're telling people without abandon, above everything else, forsaking all those things, we're telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. And lastly, and this is kind of where I'll spend most of the bulk of it, is we got to love sacrificially. Whenever I got married and came to Tulsa, I sacrificed a lot. Sacrificed a lot to be here and to be married in this place. I knew that's where God called me to be. I knew this is where I was supposed to go. And I knew that this is where, I was supposed to make my home because the woman I love that's going to marry is here. I knew that I was being called to Tulsa to be in this place. And leaving behind all the things I knew for the last 11 years was hard. I had friendships. I had a church that I was a part of down there, had a job that I had down there, and a way of life that was real comfortable, real easy. But God said, guess what I want you to do? I want you to get rid of all that. I want you to pack up. I want you to move to a place You have no idea what's going to happen or what money's there for you, but I just know that's where I want you to be at. That's where I called you to be at. If you love me, I want you to follow me. I said, okay, Lord, and I did that. And as hard as it was, I couldn't imagine a better path to my life than God put me on. Being moving here, of course, marrying Tori, getting a job at John 316, and living this life now that I've been living for the last year and a half now almost, is a lot of sacrifice. I had to give up a lot. I had to give up a lot. And if you think about your life, always you have to give up a lot. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a story about sacrifice and faith. I talk about it in John 316. It's about Abraham. Abraham has a son named Isaac. Abraham and Isaac have a great relationship, of course, like most fathers and sons do. One day, the angel of the Lord called Isaac, or I'm sorry, called Abraham and said, he wants you to sacrifice your son Isaac. I want you to be one and only son. Your one and only son Isaac, I want you to make him a burnt offering to the Lord. And Abraham immediately, he goes. His faith, he goes. He loved the Lord. He loved the Lord wholly. He loved the Lord recklessly. He said, you know what? I'm going to love the Lord sacrificially also. I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. So he gets under the donkey. He takes his two servants, and he takes his son Isaac, and they go up the mountain. He leaves the servants with the donkey. He carries his son Isaac up to the top of the mountain. As they're going up, of course, Isaac asks, hey, Father, there's no lamb here for the offering. Where's the lamb? Abraham tells Isaac, you know what? The Lord's going to provide. Son, the Lord's going to provide. So they get to the top of the mountain. He takes the wood for the burnt offering, and he ties it to Isaac. He lays him down the wood. And just as he's about to slay his son, but to slay his only begotten son, this is sacrificial love. As much as he loves his son, he loves God. He loves God. And he says, I'm going to love you sacrificially like you called me to do it. I'm going to do this. He's about to slay his son, and the angels of the Lord call out to Abraham and say, stop, Abraham. Don't slay your son. Surely your faith has shown great in the Lord's eyes. Behold, a ram in the bush caught by its horns in the thicket. We want you to, he's there for the slaying, for the burnt offering. And so, of course, Abraham picks Isaac off the wood. They slay the ram, and they offer him up as the offering to the Lord, and they call this place the other mountain that God will provide. And Abraham shall be a very faithful man, and of course, God will reward his faithfulness. Now, we'll go back to the Abraham-Isaac situation as far as sacrificial. Abraham is ready to give up his unknown son, Isaac, as a burnt offering to the Lord because of the love he had for God. Not because he hated Isaac or because Isaac was expendable or because Isaac wasn't worth that much. Really, truly, Isaac was everything he had. That was his only son. He's ready to give him up as a burnt offering to the Lord. We have to have that same mindset as Christians. What are you ready to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice for your love for God? What are you willing to sacrifice for your love for people, for God's people? Are you ready to sacrifice maybe a little bit of comfort, sacrifice a little bit of stability, if you will, sometimes, for the love of God, for the love of people? You know, we go, we serve sometimes. We'll go out, we'll go to the homeless shelter and serve a meal, and we'll go do Christmas things during the Christmas time, and during Thanksgiving time we'll sacrifice. That's all great. That's well and good. That's what's called charity work, and there's nothing wrong with charity work. But what are we doing daily to sacrifice, show our love for God? Yeah, that's great. We go down and we do Thanksgiving baskets, and we serve a Thanksgiving food drive, and we give out food, and we do toys for kids during those times. But what are we doing daily? 365 days a year, what are we doing to be sacrificial in our love? That's myself included. What could you do daily to be sacrificial in your love? Maybe don't get that $5 Starbucks drink and use that $5 to go take food to somebody, to have a meal, to have a conversation. Ask daily. Maybe you take a different route to work and you stop and you pray with somebody and it makes you 5 minutes late. That's what we can do daily. Maybe, you know, you give up a couple weekends a month or, you know, 3 weekends a month even, and you go out and you find somebody that you can serve those 3 weekends. So what are we doing? What are we doing daily to do that? Like I said, it's myself included. I have to think about those preparing this lesson and getting it ready for Sunday to Sunday. I thought to myself, what am I doing sacrificially daily to serve others, to win others, and to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Because I say I love God, and if I'm going to love God, I've got to do that sacrificial thing every single day, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, not just on the times of the year we're supposed to do charitable things like Christmas and Thanksgiving, things like that, but it's daily. I'm supposed to be sacrificing to the Lord. I'm daily thinking about how I can wholly love God and wholly love people. I'm daily thinking about how I can recklessly love God without abandon and recklessly love people. But most importantly, I'm thinking about how I can sacrificially love God, how I can sacrificially love people. Because the fact of the matter is Jesus was very clear in this passage. And it's John 3:16. As you guys know, we're for John 3:16. And it's based off of the passage from John 3:16 in the Bible. And we always talk about, we always want to live up to our name. If we call John 3:15, let's make sure we're living up to that name. And it says, it's that, for God to love the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The fact of the matter is God gave his all for us, for all of us to take, for all of us, so we would give all of us back to him. Once again, there was no prerequisite for God's love. We didn't do anything to earn it. We didn't do anything to gain or garner it, but he gave it to us. And the only thing he asked to return, there's no prerequisite. He loved us no matter what, but the only thing he asked in his love in return that we would love him back the same way, wholly, recklessly, and sacrificially. Abraham was going to sacrifice his only begotten son, Isaac, on that mountain before the angel stopped him. He was ready to give wholly, recklessly, sacrificially. Are you going to be like Abraham? Are you ready to give wholly, sacrificially, and recklessly? Are you going to be like God and love wholly, recklessly, sacrificially? Are we going to do that? Or are we going to continue to cheapen the word love and say, I love this person, but I love this person, X, Y, Z. I'm going to say, I love this person. That's put a period at the end of it. And a stop point, an exclamation, if you will, and say, I love this person. And because of the love for this person, I love them wholly, I love them recklessly, I love them sacrificially. You know, in that story with Abraham and Isaac, it was a foreshadowing of what God would want us to do. Abraham was supposed to give his only begotten son, his one and only son, to sacrifice to the Lord. So the angels called down, stopped him from slaying his son. There's a ram caught in a bush in a thicket of thorns by its horns. So there was a crown of thorns on this ram in the bush to sacrifice instead of Isaac, to take Isaac's spot on that offering place. Fast forward to the New Testament. There's a ram, a lamb, if you will, of Jesus Christ, who is God's only begotten Son, who is going to take our place on the cross as a sacrifice for the Lord. As a burnt offering, if you will, to appease the Lord's wrath. Isaac, what Abraham did with Isaac, Isaac was saved by the ram caught in the bush. Fast forward, we're saved by the lamb on the cross with a crown of thorns on his head. That was God showing the last piece, if you will, of how to love sacrificially. He gave all he had. His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So when God asks for love, we ask to give all of God, everything that we have, leaving nothing for ourselves, giving wholly, recklessly, sacrificially, that kind of love. So my prayer for you guys going forward, my hope is that as we use that word love from now on, you know, I love my wife. I really like chicken wings, but I don't love chicken wings. I love my family. I really, really like my job. I don't love my job. Love is cannot be cheapened any longer by human standards, because love is beyond human standards. Love is goes to the standard of Jesus Christ, our Lord God in heaven. And so when we talk about love, kind of love we're talking about, when we say we love, I'm praying once again that we don't cheapen. We say we love, it's the holy love. It's the reckless love. It's the sacrificial love. If you're not loving it wholly, recklessly, sacrificially, without condition, warrant, or merit, then I would say it's not love at all. It might be a deep, deep, deep like or lusting, but it's not love. Our love has got to be like that of Jesus Christ. And so my prayer is, if we go forward, we say, I love you, Lord. You sing a song, you know, and I love that song. Once again, I do really, really like that song, excuse me. But if I say, I love you, Lord, I'm saying holy, recklessly, sacrificially, God, I'm all yours. Whatever you need me to do, whatever it takes, whatever you need me to give, I'm going to do that because I love you. And so my prayer is that you love God in that same way, and we'll get to the point where we can say, God, I love you, Lord, in that type of love. My prayer is that you do love the people around you with that kind of love. I'm not saying that you should be a doormat or it should be a whipping post, but at the same time, let's get past ourselves. Let's get past our own comfort and our own wants and desires and say that, above all else, I want to show you the love of Jesus Christ every single day with everything that I'm doing. And so I'm going to pray and I'm going to turn back over to Pastor Forney. Know that when I say this, I do. I love you guys. I love you. I love you. I love you. I mean that in the way that I talk about holy, recklessly, and sacrificially. I do in my prayer that you guys would know that. But above all that, you would know that God loves you way more than I could ever could or anybody else ever could, far beyond exceeding because of what he did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. So, Father God, I thank you for this time given us. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the love that you've given us and that you've shown us through your son, Jesus Christ, coming down here to be born of a virgin, living a sinless life, a blameless life, Father, only to be beaten, mocked, and scorned at the end of it, to be nailed to a cross, to die, and to be raised 3 days later, to give us an avenue to heaven through your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for the mercy and grace that you give us because of your love. I'm praying, Father, that you would help us to show your love to people because they won't know your love until they've seen it through us. Father, anybody that understands my voice who has not experienced your love yet, who doesn't know the love of Jesus Christ, who doesn't know the love of God, who's asking what that means and where I can get that love from, Father, I pray that you would help them just to reach out to myself, Pastor Forney, another pastor, another Christian in their life that would show them the way, show them the love of Jesus Christ and show them a better way, Father, a way to heaven. I thank you so much for this time. In your name I pray. Amen.